Since 1937, the Lights of Spiritual Guidance has been proclaiming the love of Jesus Christ. We seek to lift up Jesus, who brings light into a darkened world. Thanks so much for listening to this broadcast of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance.
Forsake me here while I live by faith and do His blessed will. A wall of fire about me, I've nothing now to fear. With His manna He my hungry soul shall fill.
Then sweeping up to glory, I'll see His blessed face, where rivers of delight shall ever roll.
He's the
lily of the valley, morning star, He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. Fairest Lord Jesus, ruler of all nature, Son of God and Son of Man. He's the lily, the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. The fairest of 10,000 to my soul.
Good morning and welcome to this edition of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance. I know you'll enjoy the program today because my dad, the late Dr. J. Harold Lohman, will be sharing a sermon on the program this week as well as next week. And I think it's probably one of Dad's strongest messages on the need for a person to be saved, because the title of the sermon is When God Riseth Up. And I hope you'll be challenged by the message. Maybe share the message with someone else. You can go to our website and listen to our program anytime. If you have a computer at your disposal, you can go to lohmanministries.org and click on the media tab and listen to any of the programs for the last 6 months. And if you have an unsaved loved one, you might want to try and get them to listen to this particular sermon. Don't forget to pray for me, as I'll be in revival meetings this fourth weekend of the month of April. I'm in Murfreesboro, Illinois at the Church of the Nazarene. That's April 23-26. And if you live in the Harrisburg, Illinois area, we're not too far from there. And I hope some of our friends who listen to us on WEBQ out of Harrisburg will come and visit the meeting. That's April 23-26. That's this weekend through Wednesday at the Church of the Nazarene. Then May 7-10, Taylorville, Illinois at the Church of the Nazarene. Then May 14, High Point, North Carolina at Charity Baptist Church. I always look forward to going and seeing our friends at Charity Baptist Church. That's Mother's Day Sunday only. So do pray for us, and I appreciate it so very, very much. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for our listening audience today. Thank you for the folks who listen on a regular basis and those who support us, keep us on this radio station, I pray your blessing upon them today. I pray, Father, that you would continue to supply the need for the radio program. And you know the need, this being a 5-weekend month. Thank you, Father, for your faithfulness in our lives. We love you today. And I pray the message would speak to hearts as Dad shares it today on the program. We love you, Father. Thank you for Jesus, and thank you for the Word, and thank you for your precious Holy Spirit that is ever there to walk with us, to check us, to guide us, and lead us. And we thank you in Jesus' name. We pray all of this. Amen. Don't forget, we need to hear from you so we can stay on your station. The Lights of Spiritual Guidance, 1915 Cottage Avenue, Columbus, Indiana, 47201. Or you can go to our website, lomanministries.org, and give through Venmo or PayPal. It'll mean so much. Thank you for praying about doing that.
For many years he sat beside a dusty road, begging alms of those who passed his way. All his life he lived alone in darkness. His eyes had never seen the light of day. But today, a special miracle was waiting. For soon he heard the Master passing by. He cried, "Thou Son of David, please have mercy." As someone took his hand and said, "Arise," he's calling out your name, and he says, "Come unto me." Don't let him pass you by. He's the answer to your need. Reach out to him in faith. Power you'll be changed. You won't leave here like you came. He's calling out your name. He calls to the oppressed and to the weary. He's calling those with wasted, broken lives. Just like the little blind man, he will touch you. So no matter what you need, my friend, arise. He's calling out your name, and he says, "Come unto me." Don't let him pass you by. He's the answer to your need. Reach out to him in faith. Through his power you'll be changed. You won't leave here like you came. He's calling out your name. Reach out to him in faith. Through his power you'll be changed. You won't leave here like you came. He's calling out your name. He's calling out your name. He's calling your name.
There are three passages of Scripture that I want to use tonight. Two found in the New Testament, Revelation, the 20th chapter, beginning with verse 11. And then in the 14th chapter of the Roman Epistle, and then in the 31st chapter of the book of Job. I read first from Revelation 20, beginning with verse 11. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open. And another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which are written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. Death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Verse 11 of Romans 14, for it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself unto God. And in the 14th verse of the 31st chapter of the book of Job, the words of the text, what shall I do then when God riseth up, and when he visiteth, what shall I answer him? What shall I do then when God riseth up, and when he visiteth, what shall I answer him? The questions that were propounded in the book of Job reveal an uncanny knowledge, utterly beyond the age in which they were asked. The writer here says that God plied Job with some serious questions, questions that the average individual that reads the Bible today would pass by and not give too much consideration to. But when Job came face to face with the sobering reality of these questions, he drew back just a bit and realized that the truth revealed in these questions were certainly worth consideration. God one day said to Job, gird up now thy loins like a man, for I will demand of thee, and answer thou me. Hast thou entered into the treasures of the snow? Or hast thou seen the treasures of the hail, which I have reserved against the time of trouble, against the day of battle and war? Canst thou send lightnings that they may go and say to thee, here we are? Questions that on the surface would have no apparent attraction to most of us. But when Job gave consideration to the seriousness of questions propounded by the great God of the skies, it made him realize as never before that one day he would have to stand in the presence of this omnipotent God and give an account of how he had lived here on this earth. And so he says, what am I going to do when God riseth up? And when he visiteth, what shall I answer him? This particular text tonight is based upon the proposition of the attribute of his omnipotence. You can't prevent God from rising up. He is the omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscient I am of the skies. He is the one that hath his way in the storm, and the clouds are the dust of his feet. He took hold of the golden bits of the sun, and he hushed the song of the spheres. He swept his creative hand over trackless ether, and worlds were born, and suns kindle light on the stretches of boundless space. He scooped out the valleys and upreared the mountains, built prison walls for the ocean waves, and said, thus far shalt thou come, and no further. He planted his feet upon the chaos of a wrecked world and brought order and life to a careening planet. He struck the womb of universal night with his mailed fist, and 10 billion stars gleamed on the stretches of boundless space. He carpeted this earth with verdant green, laced it with running brooks and with flowing rivers. He painted the late afternoon sunset with all the golden hues of heaven's beauty, and set the evening star to stand like a lone sentinel on guard duty. Picked up a handful of dust, made man in the likeness of his image, breathed in the man the breath of life. Man became a living soul. You see, this God that I speak of tonight, that one day that's going to rise up and call men to judgment, is the omnipotent God of the skies. And this truth needs to penetrate the hearts and minds of every individual in this congregation tonight, because the book teaches us in Acts 17:31, because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. If you are to prevent the judgment, then you'll have to cancel the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The passages of Scripture that I read in your hearing tonight give to us an inevitable fact that one cannot deny. The book is true in what it has to say relative to judgment. So then every one of us shall give account of himself unto God. As I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. This is a proposition based not only upon the attribute of his omnipotence, but it is a proposition based upon the attribute of his omnipresence. You not only will not be able to prevent him from rising up, but when he rises to call men to judgment, they'll not be able to escape him. If it were possible tonight for me to throw a saddle upon a fleet-footed beam of light and rush through a limitable space at the rate of 186,000 miles a second and run for 1,000,000 years, I'd never be able to escape the great God of the skies. If I could borrow the fiery steeds of lightning and hide away to those eternal stretches, I'd never be able to get away from God. Though I take the wings of the morning and fly to the uttermost bounds of the universe, the writer says, lo, thou art there. David said, whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. Paul said, it's in him that we live, and that we move, and that we have our being. Though I scale the everlasting mountains of immortality, and though I dig my way into the bowels of hell, there is absolutely no escape from the high sheriff of eternity. He's going to find men and bring them to judgment. The prophet Amos declared, I saw the Lord standing upon the altar, and he said, smite the lintel of the door, that the post may shake, and cut them in the head, all of them, and I will slay the last of them with a sword. He that fleeth of them shall not flee away, and he that escapeth of them shall not be delivered. Though they dig into hell, thence shall mine hand take them. Though they climb up into heaven, thence will I bring them down. And though they hide themselves in the top of Carmel, I will search and take them out of thence, And though they be hid from my sight in the bottom of the sea, I will bring them forth. No, beloved, you'll not be able to escape this great God that sits on the throne tonight. Many people can evade the preacher. They can run from revival. They can stay away from the services that take place under this tabernacle. They can close the door in the face of God, trample his blood under their feet, and absolutely ignore the wooings of the Holy Spirit and say, I do not have to go that way. And yet one day this preacher wants to remind you that God is going to call you into his presence. And the question is, what am I going to do when God riseth up? If I had you in Rockingham County, North Carolina tonight, I could take you to a tourist attraction in our state that is a tremendous plantation and has attracted thousands of tourists across the years that's passed and gone. A man that owned that piece of property had no time for God. He had no time for the church and spiritual things, and in spite of that, he was allowed far more than his 70 years. He amassed a fortune, but beloved, bragged time and time again that he did not believe in the idea of an omnipotent God. But after amassing a fortune, after achieving material benefits in this life, one day he came down with a terminal illness, and his doctors had informed him of his condition and his family, and the doctor was very frank to tell him, if you have any final preparations to make in this life before you come to the end, you should set them in motion. He called in his family, called his lawyer, and they sat around the bedside in that tremendous bedroom. That man said to, he told his lawyer and the members of his family, how he wanted things dispersed when the end came and the will was drawn in its final arrangement. And after that man had told them how he wanted his property dispersed and how he wanted his massive fortune divided, he shocked the members of his family and his lawyer when he said, now, each of you know that I've never believed in God, and I've never believed that there was a hereafter. And he said, after I've drawn my last breath, I want you to have my body cremated. I want you to hire an airlines pilot. Let him take my ashes out over a span of 50 miles over the Atlantic Ocean and sprinkle my ashes out there over the briny deep, so that if there happens to be a God, he would never be able to find any part of me and bring me to judgment to have to face the way that I've lived here on this earth. Ladies and gentlemen, that man had ability. He had intelligence enough to amass a fortune, but he didn't have intelligence enough to realize that the God that threw into existence this world and took the dust of the earth and made man in the likeness of his image would have no difficulty in finding him to bring him back to judgment and to face the record that he had made here on this earth. You know, we're living in a day, beloved, when some people shrug their shoulders. They play fast and loose with the things of this life. They seem to be a little sarcastic at the old-fashioned preacher that'll dare stand in the gap and put the plow in deep and preach the truth in all of its fullness. Some of you, no doubt, in this congregation tonight, I may be talking to some young ladies and some young men that have never taken it seriously. You may think that we're off the deep end and we've kind of gone overboard when we put up the warning sign and send forth a warning signal. And I've had people to say to me, Mr. Loman, why in this modernistic era do you still contend for that old-fashioned faith? And why do you still preach like you've always preached across these years? I can answer that, beloved, with the Word of God. that says that if the watchman see the sword come, and he warn not the people, and they die in their sins, then their blood I will require at the watchman's hands. But if the watchman see the sword come, and he warn the people, and they die in their sins, then their blood I will not require at the watchman's hands. Many of you, I'll never know your name. I'll never know from the town that you came from. I'll never know anything about your circumstances, but there's one thing certain and sure. I want you, don't forget it, that when Sunday night comes and I've preached my last message at Camp Syker 1975 in this encampment, I don't intend to stand out there in the eternities and have someone that attended this meeting point their finger at me and say, Mr. Loman, you failed me down there. You had a chance to warn me and you didn't do it, and now I'm lost forever. Listen, friend, it's a proposition that we need to consider. No, you'll not be able to prevent God from rising up. And when he rises up, you'll not be able to escape him. But it is a proposition based upon the attribute of his omniscience. When he rises up, you'll not be able to deceive him. This book teaches us, be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Dr. Nicholson mentioned a passage of scripture in his message this afternoon, that he hath no need that any man teach him what is in man. Listen, kind lady, dear man, tonight he knows all about you. He knows the secret chambers of your heart. He knows the places you go. He knows the company you keep. He knows the conditions that prevail in the inner areas of your life tonight.
Our time has come and gone for this edition of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance. I do hope you'll take a few minutes to write us that letter of support so we can stay on your radio station. You can write to me, The Lights of Spiritual Guidance, 1915 Cottage Avenue, Columbus, Indiana, 47201, or go to our website, lomanministries.org, and you can give through the PayPal tab or the Venmo tab on the website. I do hope you'll find a place to worship this weekend. In the state of Illinois, I know you would be welcome at the Church of the Nazarene in Murfreesboro and Faith Chapel in Carrier Mills. In the state of Ohio, Trinity United Brethren Church in Faustoria. And in the state of Kentucky, I know you would be welcome in any of the churches of the Kentucky Mountain Holiness Association. In the state of North Carolina, Charity Baptist Church in High Point and Mount Gilead Methodist Church in Trinity, along with Friendship Baptist Church in Willow Springs. And here in Columbus, Indiana, where this program is produced, Bethel Wesleyan Church, Flintwood Wesleyan Church, and Columbus Free Methodist Church. Till the same time next week, don't forget, my friend, I'm still praying for you.